Hey guys, how's it going? I'm here with the amazing, now this is a little bit embarrassing for me, Andres, how do you pronounce his surname? Andres?
I don't even know. Rodmistrovsky.
That.
Something like that.
Yeah, honestly, I've read it so many times on YouTube, I'm just like, do it again so everybody knows it.
Rodmistrovsky.
See?
It's Russian, but I'm from Argentina.
I was going to say it's a Russian name, right? Because my brother actually saw it and he said it was a Russian name because he used to live in Moscow. He used to be married to a Russian girl. But you come from Argentina.
Yeah.
And how did you end up in New York?
I went to school in Boston, Berkeley College.
Oh, did you go to Berkeley and do the whole thing? Yeah.
2004.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, moved here.
Wow.
10 years ago.
How did you find the Berkeley thing?
I loved it.
It was
very, very special. Got to study with amazing people there, like Matt Garrison.
Oh, did you study with Matt Garrison? Amazing.
But my major there was composition, not bass.
It wasn't bass?
It wasn't bass, yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to explore something different. Because in Argentina, I was, you know, all about playing bass.
Yeah.
And when I went to school in, you know, Berkeley, I wanted to try something different. So I kept playing bass anyway, but it was nice to study something different.
When did you start playing bass? How old were you?
I was 14. Yeah.
Yeah. And was it always bass or was this
always bass
before that? Oh,
yeah,
really? So you gravitated straight to bass?
Straight to bass. I knew, you know, I liked the Beatles and some other rock bands. And I always, you know, felt that the bass had something mysterious about it. And I loved that.
And did you get into, obviously, well, you might have done, I didn't get into jazz straight away, but did you get into jazz straight away?
I was kind of lucky that I did. My first teacher, who is amazing, he got me a scholarship to play at a jazz ensemble in Argentina about 5 months after I was, you know, starting off playing bass.
That's the perfect scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I came from a, rock background. So
yeah.
I still, you know, played rock and roll.
Have you still got the rock roots?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Not very heavy, but, you know, I like, you know, the Beatles and...
Yeah, stuff like that. What jazz players were you listening to when you were younger?
Like Charles Mingus, Jaco Pastorius, not only bass players, you know, like Chick Corea and Patti Tucci.
Yeah.
But mainly Jaco. I would listen to Jaco.
When you got to Berkeley, were you prepared for it? Or was it like, wow, this is... You know, what did that feel like?
Yeah, I had been preparing for that for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it was my dream to go to Berkeley.
Yeah.
Coming from Argentina. Because there were a few, you know, teachers that had been to Berkeley before. And they were like, for me, you know, the most amazing players there. And I felt I wanted, you know, more. And... it wasn't that easy, but when I got the scholarship, I just could go, and definitely an amazing experience for me.
And did you study with Matt Garrison at Berkeley?
Yes, I did.
Was he teaching there? Yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky that I don't know how much time he was there at Berkeley, but I got to study with him for a year.
Wow.
We would get together and play, and just by being next to him and just
watching him and
asking so many questions about it. So how do you do this and how did you practice that? His philosophy was very, very special to me, and he really influenced me a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to play 5-tune with the low B.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I met him, I was blown away when I saw him live for the first time at Berkeley. I was like, whoa.
Because he plays 5-tune with high C.
Exactly.
33
just like this
scale.
Bass
like this bass.
And, you know, he was like, you might as well check it out. And I was like,
Because he was the first guy, like, everybody might forget, because this is, when was this, like, 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
like,
it's kind of new.
Yeah, Garrison was a new thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I changed the strings, I think, 2008, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I went back to the low B or a six string. But mainly I play 4-string basses and the 5-string with the high C.
Yeah. And was it, should I say, what did you take from his chordal approach? Because you've got an insane chordal thing going on. Like, for me, one, like, you know, like on, when I saw you on YouTube, I was just like,
I was like,
what the, you know, what is he even doing? The syncopations and, you know, were you doing that stuff back then? Or did that kind of like develop from that, you know, because Matt's got quite a complex.
Yeah. For me, Matt was more like the approach to music, not only bass, but his approaches has always been very inspiring for me. Like he's all about deeper things, not only the bass, although he's so amazing at that.
Yeah. Que je joue mon tambour, tout 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 à ton tour, dans tout ton rythme et impressionne-moi. Si tu veux que je fasse ce tam tam, faut que tu me donnes tout ton charme, dans tout ton rythme et impressionne-moi, dans tout ton rythme et impressionne-moi. Si tu veux que je fasse tam tam, impressionne-moi, danse devant moi. Faut que je vois comment tu danses. Si tu veux que j'avance, impressionne-moi. Danse devant moi. Si tu veux que je fasse tam tam.
Actually, I was living in Boston at the time, and I really wanted to play songs, you know, and songs from Argentina and, you know, Beatles songs.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anyone to play those songs with. I did some, you know, salsa gigs with the upright bass.
Yeah.
And I did some jazz gigs, even some tango, like, you know, music from Argentina. Yeah. With. But I felt I couldn't play those songs that I really wanted to play.
Yeah.
I felt like lonely in that sense. And I started playing the songs by myself, you know, and I started figuring out how to play, you know, the bass and the melody at the same time.
Yeah.
And because my major at Berkeley was composition and not bass, I felt that that gave me, you know, some tools about how to, you know, manage voices and how to arrange.
Yeah, voicings and
voice leading you know, basically arranging the same that you would do on the piano or for a big band, but try to apply
it
that.
It gave you the ability to start doing it on bass as well.
Yeah, but I never, you know, thought about doing that. And the funny thing was, like, I started putting videos on YouTube a lot, and but
when did you start doing that? When was it? Was it years ago?
Putting videos on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah, like about, I think when YouTube came out, I had a camera, and it was because you know, I missed my family and my friends, and I was like, hey, check this out, I'm playing some gamelan music here. So I wanted to show them, and I was also practicing some things that I would put on YouTube.
Yeah.
But people seem to like the chordal stuff, solo music. So I kept doing that because I, you know, I liked it. And to me, it was never more than just to learn more.
Yeah.
I felt that it was like that part of the instrument was really intriguing to me, and I wanted to study music through that. That's why I kept doing that. And I felt that if I didn't do it on video, I was never going to do it live.
Yeah.
So I only did it on video thinking that there was going to be an audience
there.
So that gave me, like, you know, the chance to practice more,
the inspiration to do it and then get it out there, yeah.
And then, I started doing also some gigs playing duo, which is kind of strange to me because I never thought of the bass like that. I never wanted to do that. I always wanted to play the bass like a bass, but for some reason I, you know...
Because you're so damn good at it. Getting into the, you know, the chordal thing, were you checking other players out that were doing similar stuff? Not only like bass, I mean sort of like, were you looking at like Joe Pass or, you know, guitar players for inspiration, or were you kind of just going on your own path?
For me, it was more like an exploration on the bass.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about anything related to bass or bassists or guitar players. I had some influences on the guitar, I guess. Also, my father used to play classical guitar, so I had that sound in my mind growing up.
Yeah.
But I didn't check out any other bass players or guitar players. So I was mainly curious about how voices work. You know, one voice moving up, the other voice moving down, and just exploring some harmonies on the bass. Because, you know, you study harmony, you can put it on the piano, but I was like, hey, how does it sound on the bass?
How does it sound on the bass?
And I think I learned that just by transcribing songs, or arranging songs for solo bass.
I was actually going to ask you, like, what's your arranging process? Because you've done some amazing arrangements, like mind-blowing, of stuff on your own, and, you know, a duo with some great singers as well. Have you got a process? Like, if you hear a song and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to try and do an arrangement for that, have you got a process?
Well, I like to think about the bigger picture, like how the harmony flows. And I always learn the melody. That's my first thing.
So it's like melody first.
The melody first, even before the harmony. Like, I never think about chords or chord positions. Like, I never think about, oh, I'm going to play this chord. It's more like about the sound, you know, the feeling that you get with that. But it's always that's after the melody.
I
just learn the melody and I try to, you know, take it from there.
And then you start looking at what the chords are.
Yeah.
In relation to the melody.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you ever change the key?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
One thing that I learned at Berkeley was that you have to learn everything in 12 keys. So no matter what, that's why I started practicing everything in 12 keys. So when I learn a song, I usually take it in the original key. And especially if I do it solo, I like to, you know, show respect to the composition and take it in the same key.
Because obviously when you're doing it with a singer, different ball game, isn't it?
You know, exactly. Sometimes with a singer, it's like, hey, can we take it a step below? And it's like, let's do it. And that's, I love that because it's more challenging to me. Sometimes I like to play in, you know, keys like A flat or D flat or E flat. So I'm, you know, because it's a bit of a challenge, not using open strings as much.
Yeah.
But generally, I like to, when I get together with a singer, which is the same thing I mainly do with the bass as a duo, I just like to get together and not rehearse, just record straight away.
Yeah.
And maybe like we do 2 or 3 takes. But I like the, you know, that to be fresh, like
it feels like
to rehearse. I never like really pay attention to rehearsing a lot. I don't like that for the duos, at least.
Yeah, yeah, you sort of like you turn up.
It feels like fresh. I like that.
You know what you're doing, and you're
even
just
if there's
go for it.
A few mistakes, things like that.
You'd rather it have the mistakes in. Because I like
the feeling of that.
Absolutely.
I think it also projects on in the sound.
Una vereda alegre, con luz de luna o de sol, extendida como una cinta, con lazos de arrebol. Arrebol de los geranios y sonrisas con rubor, arrebol de los claveles y las mejillas en flor. Perfumada de magnolia, rosada de mañalita, la veredita sonríe cuando tu piel la acaricia y la cuculicería. Y la ventana se agita cuando por esa vereda tu fina estampa pasea. Fina estampa, caballero, caballero de fina estampa. Un lucero que sonriera bajo un sombrero no sonriera más hermoso ni más lucero caballero y en andar andar luz al hacer el andar andar
in terms of like playing diatonic like the chords diatonically within the key have you always got that running with your mind?
Like if you're in the key of G.
Yeah.
You know, you can play the root, the 2, 3.
Yeah.
six. So basically, just knowing where the scale is.
Yeah. And then knowing where all the chords are contained within that scale, yeah.
But you can also play some other things. Like, you know, dominants to that, inversions. I mean, really what I study is a lot of like triads and inversions. That's what I mean.
I was going to say, like, if somebody's watching you and obviously they've got like years of work to get to where you are, but where do they start? Would you recommend triads. Simple triads? Yeah.
Just take triads and, you know, expand them. Like, for example, you take the, you know, like an open triad of G.
Yeah.
First inversion over B, over D. And then expand it. And then you take, for example, five.
Yeah.
D. But it's really like triads.
So first of all, looking for, to be able to play all the triads of like a diatonic key in all the different inversions, right?
Yeah, and
so the one
keys.
Chord and then
but
the
you
two
can,
chord.
You can start by just playing in C.
Yeah.
And then take it to F. Also fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody's watching this and thinking, what the heck's going on? That was just C triad, up the neck, yeah? And then to the third, and then the fifth, and the fifth's in the bass, right? So that's what happened.
So basically,
there.
Instead of doing C, E, G, I'm just taking like the second note up an octave, so I'm doing C, G, E.
Yeah.
Then I'm doing E, C, G. That's the second inversion, then G, E, C. Sorry, first inversion, and this is the second inversion. And one thing that I like to do, I never play visually. I always think about the note. For example, this is...
Really?
Yeah. I never...
Man, that's like the opposite to me. That would blow my mind.
I mean, you can think visually too, but I like to avoid that.
A friend of mine thinks all notes.
I mean, I guess that came from studying composition. I was like, I want to... think about the same things that I think on the piano, on the
bass.
Do
you play piano,
Just a little bit.
He plays piano a bit
No. I study that to write music.
Yeah.
But I like to think about that. For example, C, D, B, F sharp. You know, like think about the actual notes.
The actual notes as they're moving,
I guess it came just thinking that was a bit challenging, so... But yeah, that's my thought process too when I'm arranging. Like, think about the notes too and how they work together. For example, you know, contrary movement. One goes up, the other one goes down.
It's awesome,
stuff.
That, isn't it? Yeah. So when you did it with the major triads, you showed the guys the major triads. You'd obviously do it with the minor triads as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can start playing harmonies like 1-4-5. For example, 1, first inversion, 4.
Yeah.
And 5.
Yeah.
Third inversion. So like C over E, F. And you can play G or G over B.
Yeah.
So then it like only with, for example, you can play a lot of stuff with only C, F, and G.
Sounds cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's only like very simple triads, but. Yeah. Once you know how they work in inversions, you can play a lot of stuff.
I can remember hearing, I can't remember what DVD it's on, or VHS, maybe I'm showing my age there. But it was like Bill Frisell, and he took like a really simple melody. And then he just played the bass notes. He was just like, take the melody, just play the bass notes. And then, and just to prove how, you know, how amazing it sounded. And then he said, and then you can fill in the chords. That he it sounded really, just killer.
You don't need to play big, fat chords or reharmonizing. I mean, if you add the bass notes, then the melody and the bass notes.
trials and inversions, 1-4-5, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so many, especially when you're playing inversions, it's kind of like, you know, yeah. years of study just there.
Yeah.
You know, and then I suppose you can get the inversions and then start moving the voices within the inversions, right?
Right, yeah. For example, I'm playing C over E. So E, C, and G.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, the C scale.
Yeah.
You know, that gives color.
Yeah.
It's only like melodies and a bass and triads and a little bit of color, like when you add a tension, it's mainly for color.
Yeah. So when you're doing that, again, just for the guys listening watching, in terms of your chordal movements, do you have phrases that you kind of, you know will work? So there's like... Obviously, part of it is improvisation, but then part of it is you're calling on things that you, mm-hmm. you know, you're not doing sort of like, it's not like a consistent Rubik's Cube inside your mind. Just checking. So you have got like, say if there was like a 2-5, have you got various ways of playing around a 2-5?
I like to think about melodies. So. Yeah.
Or maybe you always, does it always depend on what's happening in the melody?
And it's the color too. You can have a color, like a kind of like a darker 2, you know, flat 5.
Yeah.
And then you can have flat 9, 5, and then 1, maybe 1 sharp 5.
Yeah.
But I guess it comes from the color more. For example, like the 9/2. Then, I don't know, flat 13. But one thing that is nice is to play, you know, let's say you have a phrase that you like, for example. So you can...
Yeah.
Just play over, you know, two voices. One is the bass and the other one. So try to see how...
That's like a finger workout.
Exactly. That's the reason why I started doing these things, because I thought it was fun, and it also like gave me options when I wanted to play bass. But I ended up using this for a different thing.
Yeah.
But it's. So you can take any phrase that you like and just explore, moving up and down
the
scale.
Moving the bass notes around and just get the vibe for it. Yeah.
Get two voices going.
With your right hand, can you just like? What's going on? It's just like, is it thumb, index, middle? Or are you using your ring finger as well? Yeah.
I don't really know. I never...
Do you ever play like...
Yeah,
you do, yeah.
Especially when I play like 4-string basses with no ramp. I like to play more like this or sometimes with thumb.
Yeah.
I guess this bass, I never really like study technique in that sense. I never like sit down and it's like, oh, I'm going to play with the thumb like this. It's more like the music I was hearing, like just...
The music dictated the technique.
But I guess the bass is with the thumb. Yeah, so it's more like the bass with the thumb.
Yeah.
Maybe it's only with one finger sometimes. But I don't really like pay a lot of attention or know what I'm doing with the right hand.
Right.
But yeah, with.
I've got to say, man, that the bass sounds ridiculously cool.
This is a Lorita bass made in Barcelona.
What is it, Lorita?
Lorita. Like, yeah, he's an amazing builder. if you guys want to check him out.
He's got like laritabass.com. I made that up. Don't go to that website. But search Larita in Google.
Yeah, he's more like on Facebook, I guess, or Instagram, like Larita Basses.
Yeah.
It has a piezo here, which is, you know, it's great for more like an acoustic sound. Yeah,
and it's really light as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Super light. It's got the ramp. It's got...
Which is kind of hidden, you know?
Can't see it. I've seen you on videos playing this and I've never actually noticed that there's a ramp and it's semi-acoustic, isn't it?
Semi-acoustic, yeah.
And it's also, like, what's really cool, I don't know if you guys have seen this before, it's got are they mandolin frets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are, yeah.
So it's hard to describe what they feel like, but they definitely feel differently, right?
You don't have to press them to get sound. No, this bass is super comfortable, and I'm playing nylon coated strings.
Labella, yeah. And that gives it a different. That almost gives it more of an acoustic sound.
Exactly.
As well,
yeah. Yeah, it's very. And when you move up and down, like doing these things, you don't hear the shh shh shh.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I love them.
It's real nice. That thing. Where can people find you online?
Well, my name is Andres Rodmistrovsky. It's a bit complicated.
You need like something to show. Well, what we'll do is, guys, we'll hook you up to Andres's Facebook page. Are you on Instagram?
Yeah.
Instagram. And you've got to check out his YouTube channel. How many videos have you done?
How many videos? Yeah. I have like over 300 videos.
What?
Yeah.
Man, I thought I'd seen them all. 300?
Over 300 videos.
Yeah, and these are serious. It's not just like me. Do you know what I mean? I just go on and ramble about it. This is like serious, like 300.
Yeah. Wow. I guess some of them are lessons. Some of them are in Spanish. And a lot of duos. Like,
dude, we've got to get you to come and teach for us at the SBL. You've got to come and do it, man. It'd be amazing if you did. Anyway,
love to.
Do you want to play something?
Yeah, or do you want to play something?
No, I don't want to play something. These guys get to watch me all the time. I want you to play something. Go for it. Thanks for coming on.
Great to meet you and talking to you.
Guys, go check him out. See you in a bit. Bye.